You're listening to SBS News.
It's a story that has made headlines across much of the Western world, culminating in a visa cancellation, resultant deportation, and a flight back to Serbia. Tennis star Novak Djokovic has left Australia after the federal court ruled against his bid to secure a visa, capping days of drama over the country's COVID-19 entry rules and his unvaccinated status. The unanimous ruling by a three-judge federal court bench dealt a final blow to Djokovic's hopes of chasing a record 21st Grand Slam win at the Australian Open, which kicks off in Melbourne today, dismaying both his family and supporters. Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić has hit out at Australia over the visa cancellation, calling it a witch hunt and alleging that Djokovic was tortured during his time in detention, saying the unvaccinated tennis player should be afforded more respect.
And then for 10 days they were tormenting, dare to say even torturing, because it was not only intellectual but physical torture against Novak Djokovic. And there was something else which was even worse, that was a witch's hunt organized against Novak Djokovic, which, and that guy, just not to forget it, he won 9 times Australian Open title.
Fans and Djokovic's father have insinuated that the tennis star is being persecuted because he is Serbian. However, Foreign Minister Maurice Payne refutes the suggestion, saying the same rules apply to everyone.
That we have transparent processes, that rules are rules, and there are not convenient exceptions for individuals in this case. These are very important matters of border protection, and they're matters that we take very seriously. Both Minister Andrews and Minister Hawke have worked very hard to ensure that the rules have been applied appropriately. In doing so, the federal court has affirmed that position.
The Morrison government's decision to deport the tennis star has divided public opinion, with some lauding Djokovic as a so-called freedom fighter, while others consider him a danger to the community. Jeff Lemon is a writer and broadcaster on sport, politics and literature. He says prominent athletes need to be mindful of the responsibility that comes with having influence.
When you have that level of prominence, that it means you have influence. And if you have influence, then you have some responsibility that goes along with that influence. And the fact that he was willing to go to such lengths to not do a really simple thing that literally billions of other people have done, which is get a vaccine that has been fine. We've delivered billions of doses of it worldwide. But the fact that he's willing to go to such lengths to avoid it says to other people that they should be avoiding it too, for some mysterious shadowy reason.
Djokovic now has to pay his own legal and travel costs back to Serbia, and his Australian visa will be cancelled for at least 3 years, meaning he may never be able to complete a calendar Grand Slam. Even before the pandemic, Djokovic had voiced his scepticism around vaccines, although these statements only became louder in the last 2 years. He had frequently decried restrictions and made bizarre statements on health, including in a video where he proclaimed that he had seen people purify water with their minds. Jeff Lemon says these actions have also cost him.
He was a popular competitor, if you wind back maybe 3 years. At the Australian Open, you know, he was gracious to opponents, had a good sense of humour, you know, smashed up the odd tennis racket, but he was a champion who'd won the tournament lots of times. But those kind of views did start coming out more, and it wasn't just in the pandemic era. There were bits and pieces before that as well about being anti-vaccination in general. And I think it's a pretty solid way to trash your reputation and make yourself hard to like.
This latest saga all began on January 5th as the polarising tennis player arrived in Melbourne for the Australian Open after announcing on his social media that he had been granted a travel exemption to enter into the country, even though he had not been vaccinated against COVID-19. Upon arriving in Melbourne, his passport was taken and he was detained by border control officers before his visa was cancelled by the Australian government, and he was taken to a temporary detention facility at the Park Hotel. Days later, a federal judge quashed his visa cancellation and ordered his release from detention, although still leaving the decision of whether Djokovic would be deported or not in the hands of the Immigration Minister, Alex Hawke. Djokovic had appealed against the immigration minister's use of discretionary powers to cancel his visa, but all to no avail. As the minister deliberated, it was then revealed that the Australian Border Force was investigating whether Djokovic submitted a false travel declaration ahead of arrival in Australia. Djokovic claimed he didn't need to get vaccinated as he had already been infected with the virus in December and as such had immunity. But there were inconsistencies in documents related to Djokovic's December PCR result, as well as the tennis player's movements in the days after he claimed he tested positive for COVID-19 in Serbia. In his sworn affidavit, Djokovic says he tested positive for the virus on December 17th. However, the following day he attended a photo shoot in the Serbian city of Belgrade, during which time he took off his mask and also gave an interview to a French newspaper journalist. Djokovic later said that was an error of judgment. Jeff Lemon remarked that there are many elements to Djokovic's claims that don't stack up.
There's a lack of clarity around all of those things. The version of events that we've been given seems to be the most convenient one. And it's also a great mystery as to how he intended to play in the Australian Open if he didn't get infected, which he conveniently got infected about a month before the tournament started. So what was his plan if he didn't get infected, which presumably was an accident? You know, you don't deliberately go and get infected. So was he just hoping that he would get infected at exactly the right time? What was he going to do to get into Australia if he wasn't? So put all of those things together and there are a lot more questions than there are answers.
After days of speculation, Alex Hawke announced that Djokovic would be deported, citing that he could well be a threat to public order because his presence would encourage anti-vaccination sentiment. Three federal court judges unanimously ruled to uphold the immigration minister's decision, and last night Djokovic officially left Australia. The full reasons for the judge's decision will be released in coming days. In announcing the ruling, Chief Justice James Allsop allowed the live broadcast of it, citing international interest in the outcome. He says the court's ruling is in no part a decision on the merits or wisdom of the visa cancellation made by Mr. Hawke, but rather a legal, judicial review of the lawfulness and legality of that cancellation. The immigration minister welcomed the court's decision with a statement saying that the federal government makes no apology for enforcing its strong border protection policies.
Australia's strong border protection policies have kept us safe during the pandemic, resulting in one of the lowest death rates, strongest economic recoveries, and highest vaccination rates in the world. Australians have made great sacrifices to get to this point, and the Morrison government is firmly committed to protecting this position, as the Australian people expect.
Labor spokeswoman on Home Affairs, Senator Christina Keneally, has questioned why the Morrison government granted Djokovic a visa in the first place.
They gave him a visa. They now need to explain why the hell they gave it to him in the first place. Well, Scott Morrison has prevailed over a border bungle that has seen one of the most famous people in the world travel to Australia for a public event, and then the government acted too little too late in trying to kick him out. Now, one tennis player is one thing, but are we seriously proposing that this is how we're going to run the borders when we reopen? Are we going to have hundreds, indeed possibly thousands of people trying to come to Australia and turned away only once they arrive? This is a farcical situation that could impact on families and on businesses and indeed on tourism.
It's the latest in a long line of controversies for the Morrison government. Senator Keneally is among those speculating whether this latest incident is a convenient distraction from the government's growing list of failures during the pandemic.
It's a pretty sad day if the Morrison government thinks that this Novak Djokovic embarrassing saga is good news. And if they think it's good news, it's only because they don't want anyone noticing how badly they are failing this fourth outbreak. You know, we now have circumstances where parents aren't sure their children are going to be able to be vaccinated to go back to school, where supermarket shelves are empty, where you can't get a rapid antigen test for love or money. Really, all the Novak Djokovic case shows is another example of Mr. Morrison failing to act and Australians paying the price.
Barrister Ian Neal says Novak Djokovic's court case has drawn international attention to Australia's strict immigration laws. He says the power to cancel a visa that the government had already issued, which Immigration Minister Alex Hawke had exercised in deporting Novak Djokovic, is not common among Western countries. He also added that while the Djokovic case has attracted worldwide attention because of his public profile, there are many refugees seeking Australian visas whose stories are not heard.
The real task now is to ensure that those stories don't fall away from public sight, that we don't keep, that we stop talking about them, stop thinking about them, stop thinking about the 30 people who have been held in the same hotel that Mr. Djokovic was detained in, some of them for more than a year.
Tina Quinn, SBS News.